she's in good hands. If you want to take a day or two before traveling back to New York, I can keep you informed.
I can't leave Ariel there alone.
She's not alone. Is there someone who can travel with you when you come back?
My husband. There was an accident. 4 years ago now. He died. Now I have to tell my boy, on his happiest day, his sister is gone.
Would you like me to contact your son? Tell him?
No. That's for me to do.
Julie swiped at her eyes, but the tears kept coming in a steady stream of grief.
Can you tell me? Did she suffer?
No, Ms. Bird. She didn't. You have my contact information, and you should use it whenever you need. I'm going to give you the contact information for the person who's taking care of her, and you can talk to him when you're ready to see her.
Yes, please. Yes. You're a police detective?
I'm the lieutenant in charge of the homicide division at Cop Central in New York. And your daughter is my priority. When she finished the call, Eve got a bottle of water, drank half of it down as she stood at her window. She didn't turn as she heard Peabody come in. The victim's mother contacted me. She'd left her link in her son's kitchen. She's with him in Atlanta. Because they all rushed out early this morning when her daughter-in-law went into labor.
Oh, boy.
Nope. Girl. So I had to pop her shiny, happy balloon and tell her that her daughter's dead. Anyway, that's done. Turning now, Eve ran the chilly water tube over her forehead and the headache brewing inside. She doesn't know anyone, or couldn't think of anyone, who'd had issues with her daughter, or vice versa. She did know her daughter had been in a relationship with a woman for a few months, was happy, occasionally frustrated. Bird hadn't shared the name with her mother.
Huffman's coming in. She's happy, too. And I think that's sincere because I dangled the botched burglary and added our pursuit of a suspicious character.
Eve lowered the bottle, even smiled a little.
You said suspicious character? It worked, because lo and behold, she suddenly remembered her good friend Ariel mentioning she'd seen a strange guy hanging around in the neighborhood.
I'm shocked and stunned. What does lo mean? I get the behold, but what is lo? And why is it always hanging out with behold?
Behold must like it, because it always lets lo come first.
That's right, it does. It's never behold and lo, and it could be. Get us a box, Peabody.
Already reserved, interview B. Jenkinson and Reinecke already have A, and Carmichael and Santiago snagged C.
Busy day in homicide.
No rest for the wicked, 'cause the murder cops are all over their asses.
That we are, Peabody. Eve turned back to the board, looked at Gwendolyn Huffman's photo.
That we fucking are.
5. Eve had the box set and her basic strategy outlined. While waiting for Gwen Huffman to show up, she conferred with Detective Carmichael.
Gotta look at the spouse, right?
Carmichael stood at vending, contemplating her choices. Especially when the spouse of the spouse is a cheating bastard who didn't know the meaning of controlling his dick. So, I know this NoCal lemonade's gonna suck, but I can't handle more caffeine. She punched in her code, and Eve watched, disappointed and annoyed, when the tube of lemonade slid into the slot without a hitch.
Why is it? Why? Every time I try to use one of these things, it rejects my order, changes my order, or bitches at me.
Maybe it fears you. and its chips freeze up and stutter at your approach. You want? I'll get.
No. Eve aimed a death glare at the machine. I won't give it the satisfaction.
That'll teach it.
Carmichael cracked the tube.
So she claims she didn't know her husband was catting around, even though we have the freaking security feed of her following him 3 minutes after into a strip bar. No cams inside, naturally, but we got the door feed. She's wearing a wig, but Jesus, we got her. Plus, she stabbed the shit out of him right inside the vestibule of their apartment building when he got home, then dragged him out on the stoop. She's still wearing the wig when she goes into the building, drags him out of the building. She takes his wallet and valuables, like we'll seriously think mugging.
What did she do with them?
Threw them in the recycler, in the vestibule. Actually left a bloody fingerprint on it. And we looked at the bloody print and thought, hey, a clue.
That's why you're ace investigators.
You got it. Carmichael tossed back her hair. Not in the sexy way, but in the get-out-of-my-eyes way, Eve understood. She goes up, cleans herself up, and stuffs her bloody strip joint dress and wig in her kitchen recycler. How would we ever find them?
Criminals are mostly dumbasses. It sure helps when they are.
Anyway, we brought her in, broke her down. She's in booking. Murder in the first. She'll tag a lawyer and they'll probably deal it down to second. We're fine with that. The guy was a dog.
Dog, dumbass or not, good work.
What did she do with the blade?
Oh, that.
Carmichael showed her teeth in a wicked smile. She left that in his crotch.
Ouch.
She spotted Huffman getting off the elevator. Here's my dumbass.
Go get her, Lou.
Back to the ponytail and minimal makeup, Eve noted. But now she wore light green cropped pants in a kind of shimmery fabric with a matching jacket over a bright white tee. No heels, but Eve imagined the sandals with their thick wedges were fashionable. She'd changed the red toenails for green. She twirled her sunshades in her hand as she looked around. When she spotted Eve, she worked up a trembling smile.
Lieutenant Dallas, I'm so glad. That's not the right word. Relieved. I'm so relieved your detective contacted me. She said you're making progress.
I believe we are.
We appreciate you taking the time to come in.
Anything I can do to help. For Ariel.
Understood.
Actually, we can use this room right down here. I'll get you settled, get my partner and the paperwork. We don't want to keep you longer than necessary. You look like you're going out.
Oh, no. I did have lunch with friends earlier. I just couldn't stay in my apartment. In my head.
I can imagine.
It's a relief, again, to do something.
Absolutely.
Excuse me 1 minute. These officers have something for me.
Because she stood next to Gwen, Eve felt the jolt when Gwen saw Shelby.
Thanks, officers. I'll take that. Eve reached for the packet Officer Carmichael carried.
Jan? Good Lord, I can't believe it. Jan Shelby.
With a bright laugh, Gwen stepped forward, threw her arms around Shelby, who stood stiffly, her eyes on Eve's.
Jan, it's Gwen.
Yeah, I know. Shelby eased back. I didn't expect to see you here.
I could say the same. You're a policewoman.
That's right. Sorry, I'm on duty and I have to get back.
But we have to get together. Catch up. It's been forever. You look amazing. I just love your hair.
Thanks. I have to get back, she repeated,
Wow!
Gwen let out the laugh again. I think that's what they call a blast from the past.
Do they? Eve asked.
Jan and I were summer friends, vacation friends, years and years ago. We were 12, 13. It's such a nice surprise to see her again. She works for you.
She works for the city of New York. Eve opened the door to interview B.
Oh.
The green toenails stopped at the threshold.
This looks so official and dire.
Private and handy. Can I get you anything to drink?
I'd love a sparkling water if it's no trouble.
No trouble. Have a seat. I'll get what we need and we'll get this done. She hurried back to the bullpen. Peabody, Huffman's and B. Get her a sparkling water, a small one. I'll be 2 minutes. She moved straight back to Shelby's cube. She looked at Officer Carmichael, got a slight nod. Good, Shelby had told him. Officer Shelby.
Sir.
Would you like to observe this interview?
Yes, sir, I would.
Look for tells, inconsistencies, fabrications. Note them down, write them up for me. Can you do that?
Yes, sir, Lieutenant, I can.
Good. Officer Carmichael, I'd like you and Shelby in observation ASAP. I'll be ready to start in 2 minutes.
Get on your horse, girl.
Carmichael said quietly when Eve strode away.
Our LT's counting on you.
Eve got what she needed from her office, then walked down to meet Peabody outside interview B. I'm having Shelby observe. Carmichael will be with her.
Does he know?
Yeah. Now let's break this lying bitch down. Eve opened the door, put on her I'm very distracted face. Record on, Dallas, Lieutenant Eve, and Peabody Detective Delia, entering interview with Huffman Gwendolyn in the matter of case file H-5872.
Official, Gwen said again, with suspicion in her eyes. Dire.
Just official, Eve assured her. You're here voluntarily as a witness in the matter of Ariel Byrd's murder. We need everything on record. I'm going to have you read over your statement from this morning, and you can make any corrections or additions, then initial and date each page, sign and date the last.
All right.
Before I do, I'm going to read you your rights for the record.
I don't understand.
The lieutenant does like to cross all the T's, Peabody said cheerfully. Sometimes when it gets to court or just to the lawyers, a witness will recant or claim they didn't mean what they said or that the cops twisted their words and or meaning. Dallas likes to cross those T's, have everything by the book and on the record.
For Gwen's benefit, Peabody gave Eve the side eye.
Even though it takes longer.
Saves time and trouble in the long run. So, Gwendolyn Huffman, you have the right to remain silent. Eve read off the revised Miranda in pleasant, casual tones. Okay, see, not much time. Do you understand your rights and obligations in this matter?
I do, of course.
Great. Eve started to draw papers out of a file, stopped. Before you sign off, you mentioned to Peabody that Ariel Byrd told you she'd noticed someone hanging out in the neighborhood. Someone out of place? Can you tell us about that? We can put it on record.
Of course. Honestly, it just occurred to me when Detective Peabody mentioned you were looking for someone like that. Ariel commented a couple of times over the last few weeks. She'd noticed some guy hanging out, walking up and down the street, and she didn't like the look of him.
Did she describe him?
No, I'm sorry.
But she indicated male.
She did.
Eyes clear and direct, Gwen gave a decisive nod.
A guy. Not all that clean, she said, and walking around, studying the buildings. She even said, like, he was casing the apartments, the shops. I'm sorry to say I fluffed it off, joked about it. People walk in New York.
Gwen looked away, worked up a tear shine in her eyes.
The idea that she was right, it haunts me.
Did he ever approach her? Try to panhandle or connect with her?
She never said so, and I think she would have. Or, I don't know, since I joked about it.
She worked up more shine, so tears just trembled but didn't fall.
God, maybe he did. And she didn't tell me because she thought I'd make fun of her again.
As if to give Gwen time to compose herself, Eve paused. Peabody picked up the cue.
Why don't I get you another water, Ms. Huffman?
Would you? Thank you. This is all so upsetting.
Peabody took the empty tube.
Peabody, exiting interview.
You can't blame yourself for not taking that comment seriously.
It's hard not to. If I could just have a minute.
Eve lifted her hands. All the time you need. Gwen took a pack of tissues out of her purse, dabbed at her eyes. The door opened again.
Peabody re-entering interview.
Gwen picked up the fresh tube, sipped delicately. You never noticed him, this man, Ariel mentioned.
No, but I didn't go to her apartment that often.
Really?
Eve leaned back. Yet you purchased flowers at Fruit and Flower a block and a half from her apartment numerous times, and wine at the Wine Cave 2 blocks from her apartment.
I often buy wine and flowers. I may have patronized those shops on occasion when downtown. What difference does it make?
Here's where it makes a difference. You purchased flowers, flowers that the victim had on her dining table, and wine, the wine in the victim's kitchen, on the evening of her murder.
That's impossible, as I wasn't downtown. I've clearly stated where I was last evening.
Peabody, cue it up and run it. Both those vendors have security cams, and both those cams are date and time stamped. And both? Eve pointed to the split screen that showed Gwen purchasing the flowers, the wine. Both clearly show you. And show you wearing the dress, the shoes you wore when you were on the hallway, elevator, and lobby cam of your apartment.
Peabody?
Peabody made a business of looking at her notes.
You walked 2 blocks, hailed rapid cab number 982, rode downtown to the Wine Cave, where you paid cash for a very nice Shiraz before walking the half block to buy the flowers, again for cash.
Those things, those cameras can be manipulated.
Sure, sure. House Royale, the flower place, the wine place, they all manipulated their security feeds just for kicks. Time to cut the crap, Gwen. You left the damn wine glasses in the bedroom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No tear shine now, Eve noted, but a hard gleam.
I want to contact Merritt.
You want your lawyer? Sure, that's your right. I wonder what your fiancé's reaction will be when we tell him your DNA, your pubic hair, were found in the dead woman's bed, your DNA and prints on the wine glass beside the bed.
Should be interesting.
Eve rose. We'll step out so you can contact your lawyer.
You just wait a minute.
Can't continue once you say lawyer. Peabody, let's step out.
I said wait a minute. I'm not contacting Merritt yet. We'll just straighten this out. I don't want him upset by all this.
Eve stood, hand on the door. So you don't want a lawyer at this time?
That's what I said.
Eve stepped back, sat again. The record shows you waive legal representation at this time.
And I know this without a lawyer.
Gwen's lips curved smugly.
My fingerprints and my DNA are not on file, and you can't compel me to give them to you without charging me. If you spied on me with my apartment security, you know I was in my apartment when Ariel was killed.
But you were in her apartment between approximately 6:44 to 9:46 last night. The second cab picked you up right outside her building, dropped you off half a block from your apartment.
Eve offered a smug smile of her own.
Paying cash doesn't mean we can't track you.
I never said I was in her apartment, and you're implying we had intimate relations. I'm engaged to be married, and I don't have intimate relations with other women. You can't claim I was or did, as you don't have my prints or DNA.
At the knock on the door, Peabody popped up. They were set to rush it, but wow! She went to the door, took the file. Sitting again, she opened it, grinned, then slid it to Eve.
We do now.
The prints you left on the tube of water matched the prints on the wine glass, left side of the bed, the wine bottle, various other areas in the victim's apartment, and her attached studio. The DNA you left on the bed matches the DNA you left in the water bottle. Spit back happens to everybody.
That's illegally obtained.
Fear now. The first traces ran over Gwen's face.
That's illegal.
Nope, not even a little bit. Eve rolled her eyes, kicked back in her chair when Gwen began to weep. Oh, knock it off.
I don't want to be here. I don't have to be here. I came involuntarily and I'm leaving.
Get out of that chair and I charge you.
With what? I didn't do anything.
We can start with lying to police officers on the record during a murder investigation. We can add fleeing a crime scene and top it all off with murder.
I didn't kill Ariel. I didn't.
Who did?
I don't know. How would I know?
You were there, in her apartment. You had a sexual relationship with her and had one for months.
No, no. It was just the one time. I had too much to drink. I'm not even sure what...
Did you have too much to drink on May 2nd? Eve flipped open her file. Red dates off the calendar. Too much to drink on April 28th? On April 21st? She looked up at Gwen's shocked face. I can go on. All the way back to last fall. She kept a calendar.
Gwen.
Voice soft, eyes all sympathy. Peabody leaned in.
We're not going to be able to help you if you keep lying. We're not judging you for having an affair. Planning a wedding, a marriage is stressful. You needed an outlet, a friend. But we can't help you if you don't tell us the truth.
Gwen turned to Peabody like salvation.
You don't understand. You just don't understand. You'll ruin my life. I didn't kill Ariel. What does the rest matter to anyone but me? It's my private business.
Ariel's dead, Gwen. It all matters. We need to know what happened, Peabody continued, gentle as a patient mother. For Ariel.
What does it matter to her? She's dead. It's my life now. And you'll destroy it by saying these things. If Merritt finds out, if my parents find out, I'll lose everything. I didn't kill her, so that should be enough.
It's not, Eve said flatly. You gave a false report. You were in the victim's apartment on the night of her murder. You returned to the scene of the crime, then fled it. Cough up the truth now, or we charge you.
You can't charge me with her murder. I was in my apartment. You know that.
Letting her disgust show, Eve leaned back. Here's what I know.
I know the chances of you stalking out of her place after an argument and someone completely unconnected going in and beating her skull in with a hammer about an hour later are zip.
But that's what happened.
If it is, you shouldn't have any problem telling the fucking truth starting now. Last chance, Gwen. Or we charge you and let the lawyers hash it out.
You have to respect my privacy.
When she crossed her hands over her heart, her engagement ring shot light.
You have to keep what I tell you private. You have to promise me.
I don't have to promise you squat. Both hands flew up dramatically to cup her own face.
How can you be so cruel?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I just spoke with the widowed mother of the woman currently on a slab in the morgue. I'm done with you. Gwendolyn Huffman, you're under arrest for—
Wait, wait, wait!
Gwen covered her face with her hands.
All right. I was there, yes. I lied because I was afraid, and I was shocked, and I didn't know what else to do. But she was alive when I left. You know that.
You'd been seeing each other romantically, sexually, for several months.
It didn't start out that way. It was what I told you. I admired her work, and we became friends. She was so open and free, so different from anyone I knew. She seduced me. I don't have much experience, and I'd never been with a woman. I got caught up, I admit it. I convinced myself it wasn't hurting anyone. It was just a fling, just a kind of interlude before I got married. She wanted more. I came to see that. She wanted more than I could give her, than I wanted to give her. I love Merritt. I want to spend my life with Merritt, and she knew that, but
she threatened to tell him.
I don't know what happened. We had wine. I arranged the flowers I'd brought her. Then we were together. After, we were just talking, having more wine and talking. Merritt texted me. I shouldn't have answered. I realize it hurt her feelings, made her angry, but I answered. She said I had to call off the wedding. We argued, and she became angrier, furious. I'd never seen her like that. She said she was tired of being some embarrassing secret, and if I didn't tell Merritt, she would.
She paused to drink more water, then bowed her head.
We had a terrible fight about it. I said awful things to her, and she said awful things to me. She threw on some clothes, said she was going to work, and I'd better think about how I wanted this to end. We kept arguing while I dressed, then I stormed out. I was so upset. She knew I was going to marry Merritt. She knew what we had was separate. I barely slept, and I started to think about the ugly things we'd said to each other. I didn't want it to end that way. She meant something to me. I decided to go back and talk to her face to face when we were both calm, calm and sober. I knew we couldn't be together, not anymore, but I'd hoped we could erase those awful words, be kind to each other again.
And you wanted to persuade her not to tell your fiancé about the affair. Eve noted the calculation, lightning fast.
All right, yes. I didn't want what had been a positive experience for me, a personal exploration, to upend the rest of my life. I'd hoped in the light of day we could both be calm, reasonable adults and part as friends. And the rest, the terrible rest, is what I've already told you.
No, it's not. Just like, Eve thought, her latest version mixed truth and lies. The door wasn't unsecured when you got there. You let yourself in this morning.
Where's the keycard Ariel gave you? The quick flush came from irritation on Eve's gauge, not embarrassment.
I'd forgotten I'd told you that. Obviously, I told you that because I didn't want you to know I had a key.
Where is it?
I threw it away.
When? Where?
This morning. I broke it in half, threw it in a recycler bin on the street.
Where? Near her place or yours?
Near the wine shop, before I got a cab.
Then you waited nearly an hour to call 911.
I was in shock.
But not so much. You couldn't think to ditch the key card. Bullshit on shock. You used the time it took to get back uptown to calculate what to do, what worked best to protect yourself. No signs of shock when you entered the lobby, the elevator, the hallway to your apartment. We can run that feed for you.
You don't know what I felt. You don't know my mental or emotional state.
Sure I do. You ditched the card in an attempt to remove a connection that might be seen as too close. It occurred to you on that trip uptown, someone might have seen you go in or out of Ariel's apartment. Not such a worry during the affair, just visiting a friend. But now that friend's dead, and the cops are going to ask questions. Rising, Eve wandered the room. You have to be the one to call it in. You have to come up with a story that portrays a friendship, close but still casual, and certainly not romantic. You have to have a reason for going downtown so early in the morning. You worked it all out while you came back uptown, while you put the DND on your apartment. Took a shower, removed the makeup, changed your clothes. Pausing, Eve edged a hip on the table. The virgin white was a nice touch. Work hysteria into your voice when you call it in, then go over and over how you'll play it before you tag your fiancé, the lawyer. That sound about right?
Ariel was dead, and I couldn't change that. I reported it, and I looked after myself. That's not a crime.
You'd be surprised.
Who did you contact after your fight with Ariel? Who did you tell about her threat to go to your fiancé?
Who did you ask to take care of it?
No one. Are you crazy?
Speaking of crazy, maybe you tagged one of your friends in natural order. She didn't flush this time. She blanched. The order likes to target gays, the trans, the mixed race, LCs, and the list goes on. So, you tell them to meet you where the cab dropped you off, pass them Ariel's key card, because a copy of her card, like yours, was used to gain entry minutes before she died.
That's not possible.
It's fact. Your parents are longtime members of Natural Order.
That's not a crime either.
Not yet, no. But some members have been known to commit crimes, violent crimes. Maybe you called Daddy.
I would never. For God's sake, why would I go through all this so my parents wouldn't find out, then tell my father?
You're good at making up stories, Eve speculated.
Daddy, I'm in trouble. A friend. Oh, I made a terrible mistake becoming friends with her. I was visiting her tonight because Merritt's working late. Just having some wine, some girl talk, and she wanted me to. I refused. I pushed her away, and she got so angry. She's going to tell Merritt I've been with her, intimately with her. She said unless I slept with her. She said I led her on all this time, and if I didn't do what she wanted, she'd tell Merritt I did, have been. I never did any such thing.
Prove it. Let's see your link.
You want my link? Fine.
In a jerky movement, Gwen pulled it out of her handbag. Eve took one look, held out her hand, turned the shining gold link over. This looks brand new. Doesn't this look... What is it? Brand spanking new, Peabody? It sure does. Are we going to find out you bought this link today, Gwen?
So what?
Where's your old one?
Recycled. It had texts on it to and from Ariel, and I realized if Merritt saw them, he'd wonder. It was my personal property.
Destroying evidence. We'll add that to the list. Who'd you tag on the other link? Who did you tell about Ariel?
No one! No one! No one!
She banged her hands on the table with each denial.
My parents could cut me off like they did my brother if they find out about any of this. Merritt will call off the wedding.
And those are very strong motives to kill the person who knows all of it.
I was in my apartment.
Yeah, got me there. For now. And for now, Gwendolyn Huffman, you're under arrest for...
What? You said you'd help me if I told you the truth.
Yeah, well, you didn't. Not all of it. You've had plenty of experience, and it's debatable who seduced whom from where I'm sitting. Eve pushed off the table. She meant nothing to you. Nobody does. At least not nearly what you mean to yourself. The door of her apartment wasn't unsecured. You weren't in shock. You calculated every step of this. Now you're under arrest for leaving a crime scene, lying to the police, destroying evidence. We'll hold the murder charge for the moment, but believe me, we're working on it.
You can't do this!
Done.
I want my lawyer.
You're free to use your spanking new link to contact him once you're booked. Peabody, would you take Ms. Huffman where she very much needs to go? Happy to.
I won't go with you!
Easy to add resisting to the mix, Eve said. In fact, it would be some nice icing. She cried now, and there was nothing pretty about it, and kept crying as Peabody let her out. Interview end. Eve gathered her files. She stepped out to wait for Shelby. She watched Carmichael give Shelby a squeeze on the shoulder, then peel off toward the bullpen. My office, Eve said. I'm not worried about anybody hearing about this, sir. My office is better. But this time when they went in, Eve didn't close the door. Thought, Shelby? First thought is, it's an education to watch you and Peabody work in the box, so I appreciate the opportunity. Is that sucking up? It's pure truth. You didn't need me in observation to separate her lies from the truth when she tried to fold them together to her benefit. You nailed her there. I want to say, from my own experience, she's sexually aggressive. She likes to be in charge, so it's unlikely the victim seduced her. She was making a lot of that up on the fly, and when she does that, or did back in the day, she tends to talk faster, tap her foot. She was doing that. But I think she was telling the truth about her father. Why? If there's anyone she's afraid of, it's her father. He controls everything. I know she gets money from a trust because she told me that summer she only had a couple more years before she started getting some of her own money. Money at 18, as long as she went to college for at least a year. An increase at 21, and if I remember right, another at 25, another at 30, or when she marries. If she gets married and has a child, the trust hits the top of the income stream. That sounds batshit, Eve decided. It's how natural order works. Women are meant to have children within wedlock. Once she does that, it's hers, free and clear. At least that's what she said back then, or thought back then. Until she hits 35, it might have been, or marries and has a kid, her father controls the amount she receives annually from the trust. And as he heads it, he can cut it off, like he did with her brother. So, if her father found out, premarital sex with another woman? If he didn't cut her off completely, he'd sure as hell turn down the stream. I don't know the fiancé, But most people don't like being lied to and cheated on. So she has to calculate the odds he'd ditch her. She thinks he will. That came off as true to me.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see if she's right. Because he's sure as hell gonna find out. Meanwhile, because I had plenty of probable cause before the interview, Baxter and Trueheart are searching her apartment with a duly executed warrant. She won't like that. No, she won't. That gives me a little spark of joy. She's a lousy human being, Shelby. She's a lousy human being, Lieutenant. My taste has improved considerably since that summer. She may try to contact me, knowing I'm a cop, knowing I was attached back then. She'd want an ally, someone who'd give her inside information. She'd have picked the wrong cop for that. Yes, sir, Lieutenant. If she makes that attempt, should I notify you even if you're off shift? Bet your ass. And by my clock, you're off shift now. Go have a drink with a pal. Actually, the woman I'm seeing's busy tonight. I think I'll go talk to my brother. He may have some information he hasn't shared with me. He would if I asked him to.
Fine.
You handled yourself well today, Shelby.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
Off shift or not, Eve sat to write it up. She expected Gwen would make bail within 2, maybe 3 hours, but they'd be very unpleasant hours. 6. Once she'd finished, Eve put together what she'd need to work at home. She considered her commander might want an oral report the next day, and she might want to consult Mira. She walked out into the bullpen and saw McNabb sitting on the corner of Peabody's desk. Whatever he said made her partner laugh. Eve was surprised he didn't send the general population into hysterics with his fashion choices. Today's included tangerine baggies, a t-shirt she assumed depicted the results of a supernova with its explosion of reds, golds, and oranges, his air boots and the jacket he'd tossed over the back of Peabody's chair went for lime green. She couldn't say why. He'd tied his blonde hair in a long tail with an orange cord. All those colors and more he'd represented in the hoops that circled his entire earlobe. She started to speak, to tell them both to wrap it up and go home. And Rourke walked in. More than a contrast to McNabb's skinny frame inside a circus rainbow, Rourke's leanly muscled build inside the smoke-gray suit radiated power. Then you got to the face, framed by that mane of black silk hair, and no heart could be blamed for skipping a few beats. That face, carved by some genius god on a particularly artistic day. Those eyes, so wildly blue they caught the breath. That mouth, so perfectly, romantically sculpted, curved now, for her. Maybe, just maybe, with another handful of years of marriage, seeing him unexpectedly wouldn't simply dazzle her. Lieutenant, my luck's in. And there was Ireland, with all its magic and poetry whispering in his voice. That makes two of us. I had a meeting and took a chance you'd still be about. Just heading out.
Yay, Peabody said and sprang up from her desk. We can meet up with Mavis and Leonardo.
That's the plan, Rourke agreed.
What plan?
Eve's head swiveled from Rourke to Peabody and back again.
I don't have that plan. I don't have time to have drinks or dinner or whatever. It's not that, I don't think. She has some surprise she wants to spring. Peabody snagged her coat. I was gonna tag her, tell her we probably couldn't make it, but we can. She wants us to meet up, just a few blocks from here.
Why? Eve demanded, and Rourke shrugged.
She wouldn't say, McNabb said. She just went.
He wiggled his hands in the air.
All will be revealed.
Fine, fine. It was Mavis, after all. But I have to make it quick. I'm working one, she told Rourke.
Yes, I know.
How do you know?
I spoke with Jack about it briefly. She stopped dead on her way out.
You spoke to Commander Whitney about my case?
Briefly. He mentioned you were interviewing Gwendolyn Huffman, and I found that interesting.
You know her?
I don't, no. He steered Eve to the elevator. I do know her fiancé a little, and his family. They're lovely people.
Maybe.
Well, now, you'll tell me all about it later. I've sent my car along, so I'll ride with you.
We all will, he said, as the four of them squeezed on the elevator.
I don't even know where the hell we're going.
I've the address, Rourke assured her. So you drive. And even if it was only a few blocks, she could start a good run on Gwen's parents, especially the father, and dig into natural order. When they got home, she'd ask Rourke to dig into the Huffman finances and Gwen's trust. It would help to know just how much was at stake for her. By the time she got home, with this surprise detour, Baxter and Trueheart should have completed the search and have a report. Gwen wasn't an idiot, but she hadn't expected a search. She may have left something in her apartment that added to the mix. McNabb, did you finish with my electronics?
Oh, yeah. Nothing hinky on the Vixies, Dallas. Texts on her phone and a few tags. A lot of texts from your suspect going back to last fall. A lot of the lot of are sexy texts, if you read between the lines.
Is that so?
Yeah, like, wait until you see what I bought. I'll model it for you, so you can tell me if it suits. Or candlelight and wine? Lots of stuff like that, mostly from the suspects linked to the Vicks. The Vic had texts from her mother, her brother, her sister-in-law, and emails from same. Otherwise, it was mostly business stuff, art stuff.
Eve breathed clear again when they made it to the garage level.
She'd shoot photos of her work to the Village Scene, and they'd tell her what to bring in, when. That's a gallery-type place that sells arts and crafts made by people who live or work in the village. And she had the same deal going with Poets and Painters, where she also worked a couple days a week.
Okay. They piled into Eve's ride, Rourke at the wheel.
You get a sense of somebody when you read their communication. Go through the pictures on their comp or link, go over their search history and all. She seemed like a nice person, you know, tight with her family and all.
Eve pulled out her PPC and began to gather data on Dr. Oliver Huffman. She'd barely gotten past the basics when Rourke drove through an open gate. A single gate, she noted, wide enough for a good-sized truck, with a short drive leading to a big white brick house with a long, wide front porch. Mavis stood on the porch. Her hair, cotton candy pink, fountained out of a topknot. She wore over-the-knee clear boots. What, Eve wondered, was the point in see-through boots? She paired them with a fluttery dress covered with some sort of pink posies. When she bounced, clapped her hands, Leonardo, towering, copper skin, copper hair and long dreads, came out the black front door with Bella on his hip. The kid squealed, then threw back her head so her blonde ringlets danced and laughed like a lunatic. When Mavis bounded down the trio of steps, Eve noticed the boots had heels that looked as if someone had glued a clump of colorful marbles together.
"You made it!" Peabody texted, maybe not, then McNabb texted, maybe so, and you made it!
She yanked open Eve's door before Eve could do it herself and tugged Eve's hand.
Come see before I bust!
See what?
The house!
I see the house. What is the house?
Ours!
Arms outstretched, Mavis spun in circles.
It's all so mag. It's all so whoa. We bought a house.
You bought a house? A really big white brick house with a porch and what looked like an overgrown yard. Since it all struck as dramatically un-Mavis, Eve searched for something to say. She tried, "Wow."
"It's wow to the alt. I know it needs work and love and holy shoes," she corrected. "Some freaking color and style, but it's just what we wanted, right, Moon Pie?"
Leonardo beamed at her, at the house, at the overgrown yard. "It really is." Since Bella all but launched herself out of her father's arms, Eve had no choice but to catch her.
"Das! Das!"
She gripped Eve's chin with one hand, pointed at the house with the other.
"Mine."
"Yeah, so I hear. I didn't know you were looking for a house."
"We've been talking about it since..." Mavis patted her belly.
"Knocked up. The return.
We wanted something with some yard and big enough to grow, and something we could make ours. It's like a blank slate, and we can draw whatever we want on it. Rourke found it for us."
"Oh, really?" Eve turned toward him.
"Don't be mad. I made him swear not to tell."
Mavis slid an arm around Rourke's waist.
"I really wanted you to see whatever we picked once we'd picked."
"It could be a really great yard," Peabody said.
"I'm counting on you to help make that happen. Flowers, Peabody, and trees and bushes and room for kids to run. Oh, oh, there it goes."
Tears welled. Tears fell.
"Hormones, they're killing me. We gotta go in. The main part has 5 bedrooms. One can be Leonardo's office if he wants. And there's a big-ass attic where he can have his workshop. There's even a basement level I can use for recording, even though I do that mostly at Jake's studio now."
The minute they hit the porch, Bella wiggled down to race inside.
"Mine!"
Her little high-top sneak sent out echoes and bounced with lights as she danced in the foyer. Dingy beige walls showed off lighter squares, rectangles, ovals where art had hung, and the wood floor showed considerable wear and tear. But roomy, Eve figured, with its high ceilings and wide staircase. Obviously thrilled, Bella grabbed Peabody's hand to tug her along, jabbering all the while. The living area focused on what looked to Eve like an ancient brick fireplace. Light poured in the trio of windows overlooking the dilapidated front yard. Eve noted the dinge, the scars, while Peabody rhapsodized over the natural light, the wide-planked oak floors. Hanging back a bit, Eve looked at Rourke. "You pointed them at this place?" "She has good solid bones, a fine history, and is exactly what they wanted." "They wanted old and decrepit?" "They wanted old and character, some grounds, and that blank slate in or near their neighborhood. She's far from decrepit. Neglected she is, but she's a beauty who just needs some attention and imagination." Eve narrowed her eyes. You were gonna buy this place.
I was, yes. I had an offer ready to go when Mavis contacted me.
Then he smiled. And it seemed to me this had come across my desk exactly for this reason. Fate, darling Eve. As Bella had with Peabody, he took her hand, pulled her along. Come on, see the rest. Give her a chance. They caught up with Peabody, who was now touting the joys of the woodwork, the moldings, and a window seat in what she termed a perfect study. Eve poked her head into a half bath, and its red and gold wallpaper had her stepping quickly out again. They made their way through the main floor into a huge space where Mavis spread her arms.
I love how open this is, right? Kitchen, the family room, the dining room, and you can just see everything.
Eve saw it all right. A stunning display of ornate dark cabinetry, acres of solid black counters, and weird fussy lights hanging everywhere. Plus, a lot more dinge.
So iced having the double fireplace thing.
There's a big pantry, Leonardo put in, and hauled Bella up when she lifted her arms. We'll spend a lot of time in this space, I think.
After it's Mavis and Leonardo-ized.
With a laugh, Mavis spread her arms again.
It's alt ugly and mega sad. Rourke said it's a, what is it?
Gut job, he supplied.
Gut job. We can donate the totally ugly cabinets, hit it with some color and freaking happy. We can hang in here and see Bella and number two wherever they are, and we have back stairs.
She spun in a circle, then hurried toward them.
Let's go up. Whoever thought I'd live in a house with two sets of stairs?
Because the sheer joy overwhelmed even the dinge, the dust, the scars, Eve put aside her reservations. Upstairs, the doors read black to Eve, but Peabody instantly went into rapture again about solid mahogany, stripping, refinishing. Big rooms, Eve thought, and lots of light again, which wasn't so much of a bonus at the moment as it highlighted lots of scary wallpaper. Bella grabbed Eve's hand, then Rourke's.
Das Ork!
And raced into one of the rooms.
Mine!
She chattered, danced. She seemed particularly pleased with the window seat, then the big closet, and finally tugged Rourke's hand until he crouched down to her level. She jabbered.
Ah, I see. I'm sure you have it right. Yes, of course, that's just the thing, isn't it now?
Clearly pleased, she hugged him, wiggled her butt, then raced off laughing.
What the hell was she talking about? Eve demanded. I haven't a single clue, but she seemed firm on it.
With a shake of her head, Eve walked to the big window. It overlooked the back, and a lot more overgrown yard, some sort of shed or garage. With big shady trees, she thought, a wide patio. I get it. I get what she sees here, sort of anyway. And I get what she wants, what they want.
But Jesus, it'll take months, maybe years to do all that.
2 to 3 months, he corrected. Most is just cosmetic.
Seriously?
She's rock solid under the questionable decor and unhappy neglect. You'd know. She thought of the dilapidated farm in Nebraska he'd turned into a postcard on a bet. Yes, he'd know. Okay. If she wants my nod on it, she's got it. But something's off. The dimensions. The west wall stops way before it should. You can see that from the outside, and that patio deal extends beyond where this house stops.
The main part of the house,
You've a good eye. I'd have to be blind not to see it. What's the deal?
Mavis's next reveal.
They went out again, where McNabb was talking about updated electronics, house systems for security, entertainment, business. All in a language she knew no one understood but Rourke. And he and Rourke went into geek speak as they walked downstairs again.
I can convert the lower level into a studio, Mavis said, and Leonardo's got the kick-ass attic space. But I really want to show you the bonus round. Out here. Rourke, what did you say we could do here?
Blow out this wall. Install glass accordion doors to the patio.
That. So instead of this dink door, imagine that. And we can put a playhouse out there for Bella and number two and have a garden. We can still walk to our favorite joints and to parks and, well, everything.
To us, Peabody said, because we're going to miss having you in the same building.
Like nutso, McNabb agreed and scooped Bella up. Gotta have my Bellamina fix.
Nab,
she said with swoon-worthy love and kissed him.
We like hearing that, don't we, honey bear?
Leonardo opened another door off the patio.
We're counting on hearing it.
Another kitchen, not as big as the other, and this one so white it looked like a lab. White walls, floors, counters, cabinets. It made up for the white with a dining and small lounging area with candy pink walls.
Need my sunshades, McNabb said and winked at Bella.
Gut job, Mavis said.
Not entirely. They're good cabinets and laid out well.
I'd paint them out, Rourke suggested, and tear up the white tile on the floor. If the hardwood doesn't run under it, I'd install it, match what runs through the rest.
Tell them about it all, Mavis requested, while we do the tour. You do it better.
Well then, the owners, it's been in the same family for four generations, converted this space to accommodate visiting friends and family, and then for parents who they wanted close, but not in the same space, so to speak.
They walked through, paused at a sunny little room with a small fireplace flanked by built-ins and dominated by floral wallpaper. The mother-in-law of the owner used this as a craft room.
It's a good size for it, Peabody commented. Sunny and plenty of storage.
Mavis just beamed at her. And the living area, with more unfortunate wall coverings, and the fireplace, as throughout the house, converted from wood burning. The basement area is finished. Floors, walls, though they used it primarily for storage. A full bath down there, and potentially another bedroom. There are three upstairs, and two full baths with the master, and a Jack and Jill for the other two.
The woodwork's amazing. I'm so glad they didn't paint it. The high ceilings, the oak floors.
Peabody sighed.
Are you going to tear down the walls, open it up to the main?
Too much house for us, Leonardo said.
Rent it out.
McNabb nodded.
You could close off the back door if you didn't want tenants back in your yard. You got that private entrance there on the side.
Yeah, it's nice the way the entrance faces the side. You'd get morning light in here.
Do the fixes, Peabody said, and you'd rent it out in a heartbeat. This neighborhood, all this room.
You gotta get Dallas to do a run on any potentials, though.
McNabb wandered the room.
You're really private back here. You want the right tenants and the security we already talked about.
We already picked the tenants.
Still beaming, Mavis cuddled next to Leonardo, who had Bella back on his hips.
You guys.
McNabb turned slowly.
and Peabody just blinked.
Some cops you are, Eve muttered. You didn't see that coming?
Peabody found her voice.
Oh, listen, this is beyond mag of both of you, but we are cops. We're cops and can't afford the rent on a place like this.
You could, if it's what you're paying now. Peabody immediately shook her head.
Mavis, shut up!
You too, Eve ordered McNabb. Shut up and hear her out.
I knew you'd get it.
Tears welled again as Mavis threw herself at Eve. Tears fell again as she drew back.
Sorry. I can't. Leonardo, you tell them.
These are my girls, he said. The most precious things in my life. And I'm going to have another precious thing come into my life. How could I risk them? You said it yourself. It's private here. And we'd need to do background checks, and even then, it's not the same as apartment living. We don't want someone we don't know living here with us, sharing the yard with us. We need friends. Someone we know, without question, Bella and the baby will be safe with.
You're cops, Mavis managed. What's safer than living beside cops? And we love you.
As if hitting a cue, Bella threw out her arms to Peabody.
But it's...
Don't be stupid, Eve spoke flatly. Because I'm going to tell them, flat out, they don't rent to anyone they don't know. Not here, behind a gate, when they're freaking celebrities with a kid and another coming. It's you or it goes empty, which is stupid. This is the perfect solution for everybody. Tears still raining, Mavis hurled herself into Eve's arms again. Eve just rolled her eyes and patted Mavis on the back. She watched Peabody and McNabb exchange looks. Could interpret